amount of growth that we saw was so heartening, because it means that every student had access to instruction, learned more skills, and there's not one of our students who didn't grow at all. Our growth was bigger than that of other elementary schools.
Thank you for joining us for the Keynotes Podcast and the third installment in our series on the Growing Ute Futures Initiative. I'm your host, Marcus Chavez, the Communications Director for the Keystone Policy Center. If you have not done so already, I strongly encourage you to listen to the first two episodes of this four-part series on the Growing Ute Futures Initiative. In those episodes, we revisited the history of education for Indigenous and American Indian students in this country, and more specifically, the education process for the children of the Ute Mountain Ute Reservation. After decades of students being bused 15 or more miles to go to school, and a continued culture of assimilation for those students, leaders of the Ute Mountain Ute tribe decided to create the first ever tribal-run charter school on an Indian reservation in the state of Colorado. We detailed the steps the tribe took to develop the school and their desire to ground the education of these students in the Ute culture and language. The school officially opened in 2021 and was finally able to put into practice what had previously just been an abstract plan, a culture-based curriculum grounded in Ute traditions that also delivers a modern education to prepare young students for the world. When you hear the word trailblazing, that's exactly what this approach is. To reiterate what Dan Porter, the head of school at Cuyahoga Community Academy, said to us in the last episode, this had never been done before, and they would only get one shot at it. Today on the Keynotes Podcast, KCA does not throw away its shot. KCA was officially open for the 2021-2022 school year, although its students and teachers initially met in a temporary modular structure. One of the first tasks for the school was to conduct assessment of its students. KCA wanted an authentic measure of all the strengths of its students in these initial assessments. That would then help identify what additional supports each student needed, such as social and emotional instruction and support. Raleigh Cato is a school psychologist for the San Juan Board of Cooperative Services, and the secretary of the KCA Board of Directors. She explains the importance of approaching student assessment from a strengths-based perspective.
Because school psychology, as amazing as it is to be in the field now, it was built to exclude. It was built to use IQ tests to do the opposite of what we're doing at KCA, really. And we still use a lot of those tools today, but we have a much different way of interpreting test results in relation to language and culture to look at more appropriate measures, which is one of my main goals as I work with KCA long-term. And starting with student strengths is what's going to get us there.
Starting with the students' strengths worked. Cato explains the assessment process the school completed during its first year, and shares that the growth in its students equaled and even surpassed students from other schools.
So we knew what their benchmarks were, and then we used a series of interventions and tools to teach, of course, in the classroom, and then we measured their progress in the winter and in the spring. And from the fall to the spring, we saw huge growth, not just in student scores, but in their abilities to maintain attention to this kind of task. It's a computer-based, very short test, but it's standardized. It's something that, you know, you've got to focus on and do in a way that isn't, you know, play. The amount of growth that we saw was so heartening, because it means that every student had access to instruction, learned more skills, and there's not one of our students who didn't grow at all. Our growth was bigger than that of other elementary schools.
Tina King Washington knew the school would serve a valuable purpose in helping students feel that they were being educated in an environment that they felt safe to be themselves. But the growth surpassed even what she was expecting. It was a welcome outcome.
And our scores show that. Our scores, I really thought we'd be barely above what we needed to be. We blew those scores out of the water. We're way up there.
But it wasn't just the traditional academics that students at KCA are learning. Dan Porter shares that they are learning, and as a byproduct, preserving the Ute language.
So we're not only preserving, but we're reintroducing in a lot of places. I've got families that come in and go, he came home and this is what he said to me. And they're teaching. So our kids are literally teaching their parents Ute language.
This is the kind of impact that reverberates for generations. KCA students are not only learning Ute. As Manuel Hart, chairman of the Ute Mountain Ute Tribe, explains, they are also teaching their parents and grandparents the language.
And what we've seen out of KCA as we started to create that curriculum was exactly that. Our children are going there. They're starting to learn numbers 1 through 10. They're identifying animals. They're identifying how to greet each other in Ute. And they're taking that home to their parents. And they're telling their parents, "Du wichkus, good morning. Mayuk duguvin, hello, my friend. Duguin ruin, I'm hungry. Suis, waini, baini, chewin, manigini, 1 through 5. And the parents are astonished, hey! And they're learning from their kids, and the kids are teaching the parents and the grandparents. And it's really good to see that, and the kids are learning more. They're like sponges, and they bring all this language in and the culture, and it's a two-way thing.
Sherelle Lang, as you may recall from our previous episode, was a member of the design team for the school. She is also a mother of a student attending KCA. She shares her firsthand experience.
So Red Sky, that's what she does. She comes home every day and she's counting. She's saying color. She's seeing animals where we're driving. She says them all in Ute. She's teaching us how to say words.
Dan Porter shares an impactful story about a visiting board member meeting a KCA student for the first time.
I brought an RE1 board member down here because I'm still friends with many of the board members. She wanted to come see our school. I said, absolutely. We are walking down the hallway. We just opened this school. It opened in October, finally. We'd been in another location. Opened in October. I'm walking down the hallway with Mrs. Wright. One of our students walking down the hallway by himself to go to the bathroom. He needs to go to the bathroom, little five-year-old. I said, "Coda, tell Mrs. Wright hi." That's all I said. I didn't say it in Ute or anything else. He says, "Mike, Taguvin, Duichgus, Nunania, Coda," which means, "Hello, my friend, good morning, my name's Coda." And he stood up and he's proud and he looked at her and had his shoulders back.
I've reflected often on this story since Dan Porter first told it to me. I think it exemplifies the importance of this school. I contrast it to the story that Dan also told me that I shared in the first episode of this series, where students from Toyoak felt that they couldn't be themselves when they were bused to the neighboring school district to be educated. One student even said it felt like he was passing through a veil. But now students are able to feel comfortable and proud introducing themselves in Ute. Dylan Mills, vice president of the KCA board, shares just how important allowing kids to be themselves is for these students.
But for these students to definitely get that experience with something, I've come to realize, you know, it's a part of their well-being. It's part of their definitely what they deserve as an experience in education. And for us to provide that for them in a safe environment, an environment that definitely heightens that type of experience and ties that up to our number one objective, it's important to them and it's definitely important to us.
Dan Porter reiterates that the ultimate goal of KCA is the same as any other school: for its students to receive a high-level education that allows them to grow and thrive in any environment.
We want to be successful. I want to have my kids to be able to compete anywhere. I want them, if they decided in fourth grade, you know what, I'm going to go someplace else, we're moving. I want them to be able to walk into a fourth grade classroom and have the knowledge they need to function in that classroom.
Ernest House Jr. says that this approach of KCA will help tackle those difficult issues communities like Toyoak and the Ute Mountain Ute Tribe are dealing with on a continual basis.
But really, when you get down to it, KCA is that it's that seed that we're planting to see who's going to be the future teacher, who's going to be the future principal, who's going to be, are we creating a pipeline to go to whatever higher ed or certificate program that students want to do. If we're really wanting to change the needle in Indian Country around high dropout rates, high suicide rates, high every other type of rate that Indigenous communities are faced with, it starts here.
I've been fortunate enough to make a few trips to Toyoak and visit KCA a few times. Believe me when I say that it is an inspiring institution. Ute Mountain Ute Councilman Lindrith Wall wants everyone to see it. He even encourages people who have an interest to visit the school personally.
I suggest, I cordially invite people that have time, that those who like to travel, come down to the KCA when a special event's happening. See it for yourself, hear it for yourself, and see how the power in the house of our kids are performing their traditional languages and their singing, and yet being educated with the with their curriculum, working hand in hand. That's a sight to see.
Schools create our nation's future leaders, and Ernest House Jr. believes that KCA will help create the future leaders needed for the Ute Mountain Ute Tribe and their community.
And what I hope 10, 20, 30 years from now, we will see those students becoming the next tribal leaders, the next teachers, the next dean of students, the next president of Fort Lewis College. That opportunity is there.
The creation and impact of KCA is one that should be celebrated and showcased as a prime example of community leaders and policy experts like Keystone coming together to create long-term impact for communities and families. But while KCA is a cornerstone of the Growing Youth Futures Initiative, it is not the only accomplishment that came from this effort. On our final episode in this four-part series, we discuss the wraparound services of the Growing Youth Futures Initiative and what happens next.
The KCA, as important as it is, it's just one component. The Growing Youth Futures is this wraparound process that helps the families, that looks at the social emotional support for kids, for families as well.
Keynotes is a production of the Keystone Policy Center, a 501c3 nonprofit organization based out of Keystone, Colorado, which for more than 45 years has empowered leaders to reach common higher ground. This episode has been made possible by contributions from the Ballantyne Family Fund. If you would like to learn more about the Keystone Policy Center, visit our website at keystone.org.